I'm Adam, one of your hosts, and I got Brianna, my beautiful wife, with me. Hello, honey.
Oh, well, hi. Welcome, everybody, and nice to have you here.
And we've also got Annette with us.
Hello, everyone.
And Ron.
Hello, glad to be here.
Both the Clarks, of course. And we're going to throw to Brianna for the first question, so here we go.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you. Annette and Ron, could you please tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Well, we've been married for 47 years, married couple. We have two grown-up children, two sons-in-law, and two grandchildren, one aged 8, a little boy, and a little girl who's 5. I've been in charge of a junior school. That's probably my highest role as an educator. I currently supervise university students from the University of Notre Dame, and I have wonderful opportunities to share my faith with them.
Amazing.
So we might even talk about that a little bit later. I might ask my husband to tell a little bit more about us.
Well, we've been coming here to Guamere Baptist for, 35 years?
Yeah, about that.
Just a little while then.
A long time,
not long.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So, in eternity.
Yeah, but yes, and we've been involved in from Sunday school teaching to choir to youth groups to a bit of everything, and we still get involved where we can now, and we love it. We love Guamere Church. It's a good... It's a good group of people that try very hard. They really strive to do what is right in the Lord. Yeah. And we settle down with them well, and we love them. They're good.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I have to agree with you both
definitely,
on that one.
Yeah, on that one, for sure. So, Annette and Ron, what is the something people might not know about you?
Oh.
Got you on the spot there.
Goodness, they might not know. I can tell you lots of things they do know. Like usually I'm not short of, conversation. Perhaps they might not know that I was brought up in the western suburbs of Sydney. I always loved the beach, and when I met Ron, we were up in Coffs Harbour actually at the time, but he lived in Guamere and I was a western suburbs girl, as I've said, but I always used to love going to the beach. So when we decided to get married, we decided to come and live closer. So I've been a Shire girl for nearly 50 years, but I still get lost in the Shire, which Ron finds very hard to believe.
How could you do that?
Come on.
No, just turn right the next set of lights and you're there. I mean,
just around the Bunnings, aren't you?
Yeah, Bunnings. Yeah,
and couple of them though.
She doesn't like Bunnings, mate. I could spend a week in Bunnings, but for some reason she doesn't like it.
Your tradie background.
Can't understand. Yes, I am a tradie. I'll tell you that. I'm a tradie. Been
something
a tradie
that they
all
don't
life.
Know, love.
Oh, okay. I'm a good tradie.
We knew that.
Yeah, I probably tell people everything about me, so there's not too much people don't know about me. They don't throw rocks at me or anything.
No,
but, no, it's brought up in a Christian family. Mum and Dad were Salvation Army officers from the day I was born.
Okay.
Born up in Redfern, mm-hmm. So to start with, the first few years.
Yeah.
And my parents spent a lot of time with the working with alcoholics, which was an eye-opener to me as a child, but I learned a lot of things there. Then later on, they were pastors at Guamere People's Church for many years, which my life was involved with the young people, and I grew up to love the Lord there. And so I guess people mightn't have known that, but...
Yeah, that's fantastic. Awesome. Well, I'll jump in there because I want to tack on to Annette. So one thing people may not know is I also married someone not from the Shire.
Ooh.
Controversial.
Ooh.
I married a Kiwi. Oh. So every now and then you might pick up in Adam's voice.
Yes.
He has a little bit of a accent there, which
New Zealand lilt.
A little lilt.
New Zealand lilt, yes. So. Different 7, 6 fish and chips.
Fish and chips.
I don't know, people tell me to say when I'm with them, so Aussies ask me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and yeah, so there's my little something you may not know.
You probably don't know about this about me, but some people may know. I really like Christian hip hop.
There you go.
That's a little tidbit. There you go.
Well, that's actually a good segue into our next question. So, is there a particular book, movie, or series that has influenced you in your faith journeys?
Cast your mind back. Maybe. Or might be something recent.
Maybe something right now.
I love the early book. I don't know whether they're still around. You know the Cross and the Switchblade and all those type of.
I've heard of
that. That's before their time, love. We're going back.
No, I have heard of that.
Yeah, it could be
now,
good.
These are guys that find the Lord and they go and work in prisons.
Yeah.
And the, I mean, the hardcore blokes.
Is that Nicky Cruz?
That type of thing. Yeah.
These guys really are rough guys that have found the Lord and they're working alongside guys who'll slit your throat for 20 cents. Mm. But they share the gospel and they share the love of the Lord and so many of them come to Christ and it just blows me away. There's quite a few books on it.
Yeah.
Cool.
And are these true stories?
All true stories. All true stories.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And certainly a challenge to me. I think, well, if guys like that can challenge other people on their faith or where they're at, that gets me going too. I think I can do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, inspiring, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
I think one of my favourite writers is C.S. Lewis.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Boom.
That's not a surprise. I also love Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I'm very taken with his work. Yep. But I think the most recent book that's influenced me is a book called The Story. And Max Licardo and another fellow whose name escapes me have written the Bible from Genesis to Revelation as a narrative. Oh, so what I loved about it, it didn't change my life in the sense that I became a Christian through it.
Sure.
But what it did, because I, like Ron, was born into a Christian family and went to Sunday school from birth pretty much, I've learned all of these Bible stories and I knew the Bible, but I didn't know the sequence of the Bible until I read this book, The Story.
Okay.
And, you know, it's basically like a history of the Old Testament from Genesis then through to Moses leading the children and then the fact that they were prophesying that Jesus was coming and all of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, to hear stories like Moses in the bulrushes and Joseph and his Technicolor dream, you know, his Technicolor code and all of that sort of thing. Yeah. But to see the sequence and where they all fell chronologically
was
eye-opening. And I found after getting that kind of foundation, I found even each Sunday after that, whenever Mark spoke, the context then was so much more apparent. And this is after, you know, nearly 70 years of listening to messages. Okay. All of a sudden, it all fitted into place.
Highly recommend.
It's a wonderful book. Boom. So, Sonia, talk to Sonia Beresford in the bookstall. Mm-hmm. She'll get it for you from Coorong. It's really good. Really good.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Well, that kind of takes us a segue. You were just touching on it just then. When did you become a Christian? We kind of heard that, but maybe just expand on it.
Yeah, well, you know, I think I can remember making a commitment. I was about 10. And prior to that, I knew I wasn't a Christian, which I think is funny, really. Mm. And I remember saying to my mum, is it all right if you sing choruses? And I was thinking of that old chorus that you guys won't even remember because you're too young, but there was a song, there's a new name written down, it's Glory and it's mine. Yes, it's mine. And I thought, I can't sing that song because my name's not written down in Glory. Like even as a little kid, I knew I hadn't made a commitment. Mm. And I remember asking my mum if it was all right to sing a lie, you know, or you only bad if you told them.
Yeah.
And she looked at me like I can still see the look on her face of, where's this kid coming from? But I knew that I hadn't made a commitment. Then when I was about 10, I did. But when I was 18, I recommitted my life proper at a BYF, Baptist Youth Fellowship, was when a number of Baptist churches all got together and we were at a camp.
And
that's when I really, my life turned around.
Mm. Oh, that's lovely. Amazing. That's so cool.
And to know that God was with you even from the age of 10.
Yeah. And even before that when I wasn't a Christian.
That's right.
Yeah, he was touching you before that going, hey, you can sing the song if you want.
Yeah.
You will be.
Yeah. And even just challenging, you know, feeling convicted at age 5 or whatever I was.
Yeah.
Wow.
Amazing.
That's right, because God is with us always, even if we don't know him, he's still there. And then, you know, it's that recognition of the right and the wrong and
exactly.
What about you, Ron?
Yeah, well, being brought up with my parents so, well, as Christians, so devoted, church was twice on Sunday, meetings during the week, Sunday school. I mean, I just went through the system and I presumed that, yes, I followed God, but I was 13 when we got one of these fiery preachers at church, and he just laid it on us. Where you're at, you know, your parents aren't your salvation. Is your faith just in your religion, or is it your faith? And I made a decision at 13, and my brother the same night, and it did. It made a big difference in my life. I remember at school they handed out the Gideon's Bibles. And I used to grab a hold of these and go around and hand them out to the kids and start sharing. And, I mean, I didn't know what sharing really.
Yeah.
When I look back, I think, oh, Jeff, so corny, you know. But obviously the Lord.
Sometimes you need a bit of corny.
Look, I had this fire in my heart at 13 to speak about God's love and forgiveness, you know. And that just grew in my life as I got older and older. I suppose over my life I've made, I wouldn't say full-on commitments, but just times where I've said, Lord, I need you closer, I need to walk closer with you. And it's been a growth bit by bit. But my Christian walk has been exciting. I really love it.
Yeah.
And I love to share the gospel. It's just so exciting to see someone's eyes light up. Mm. And the lights go on.
Yeah, hey, I picked you as an evangelist.
This guy's got something here.
Mm.
You know, it's not religion.
Mm.
It's not just something that he's kind of going through. He really wants to share something. And that's, I've seen a lot of guys come to the Lord, and it's so exciting to see it. You know, it's a thrill. Really is. Yeah. It's a thrill.
Fantastic. Do you currently serve either here at GBC or perhaps somewhere in our local community?
Do you want to go first?
Well, over the years I've been, as I said, I've had my finger in a lot of pies. I've just finished on the diaconate after...
Elder,
after, 6 years?
Okay.
So I was in the choir for 20-odd years in the...
band, not the choir.
I was going to say tenor or baritone.
What
kind of instrument?
You can tell he's over 70, can't you? He talks about the choir.
I think my work's my biggest enthusiasm, just sharing with guys on the job site. That's my closest work, other than church here. It's my biggest thrill.
Okay, and cool. So what a wonderful way to do it too, and serve with your colleagues. That's great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, I'm currently a deacon. I also am involved at Kareela Public School with the Kids Hope program.
Oh, cool.
So nice. I find that very exciting. I also tutor a student who's in year 11, and she comes along here to youth group. So that's very exciting. Fantastic. I love the fact that there's that association. But one of I was talking before about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he talks about your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God.
Mm.
And I think that's kind of something that I try, even though it might not be actively a role as such, but I like to think that people can see that when things are tough for us, because we've got a daughter who's sick, but when things are tough for us, our faith sustains us. And that we've got something different. So, you know, during COVID, for example, when we couldn't really share our faith very much, Ron and I are very similar in that we both do love to share. So, you know, I thought, oh, gee, it was nearly a year when we weren't in touch with people. So what can I do that might be, you know, so we did things like we'd cook soup for the neighbour next door or, you know, just little things that, little random acts of kindness I tried to do.
Mm.
But that's not really a formal way of being involved with people, but I just think sometimes in life you have plenty of opportunities to just act out your Christianity. And I think that's probably what I try. Every day I pray that God will give me random acts of kindness that I can carry out to show that I'm different, I guess. And I mean, look, there's lots of people who aren't Christians who are very, very kind.
Absolutely.
But I just think it's something, one of the things I discovered through Carl and Jane, Carl was the senior pastor here previously, with his series, I realised that the early church flourished because it was so different to the Roman rule. And one of the reasons it flourished was because of the random acts of kindness of the Christians.
Oh, yeah.
And so I tried, you know, tried to make that a mantra for me hearing that.
Yeah, great. And I think you both touched on it. You know, people often think serving the Lord has to be some sort of formal voluntary thing through church or a social committee or group or whatever, but every day is a chance to serve God, and God will use all opportunities, which is amazing.
I had wonderful opportunities when I was the principal of a school. And can I just take a moment to share one of those?
Yeah, we'd love that.
Yeah. I was called back after I stepped down as the role of head of the junior school. I was called back, and many of the GBC people have heard this story, but it's such a beautiful story. I was called back to take a class because the teacher was sick. And I used to begin the day every day by reading from one of the books called Jesus Calling by Sarah Young that I've given to a bazillion people over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I just used to read it to the children. One of the children put a hand up and said, Mrs. Clark, would you pray for my grandma? She's just found out that she has cancer. And because I had been the head of the school, I developed quite a good relationship with parents and grandparents who saw me, you know, like this. I was in a high profile position, and so they got to know me because of that. I got to know this particular grandma at sports carnivals and swimming carnivals and things. And so I had that ability where I was able to call her. So I said to this little girl, I'll give your grandma a call and just have a chat with her. I'd said already, didn't I, that she had cancer? Did I say that?
Did.
Yes. Anyway, I rang the grandma, and because I knew her, she was very happy to talk to me. And I said, look, I've got a book called Jesus Calling. I'll send it home. And so this grandma, who eventually knew she was dying, used to read Jesus Calling every day.
Wow.
Then when she became too ill to read it, her children or her grandchildren would read it to her. And that lady's life changed because of this book. And they were from, I would say, religious people, but probably didn't have a faith in Jesus. But this woman found faith through this book. And on the day of the funeral, the family put the copy of Jesus Calling on the coffin.
Aww.
And it was moved down. And, you know, even now, this is years and years later, I think that grandma came to faith through that book. And that was just an opportunity that I think, whilst it wasn't a formal role that I was in, I guess the teaching role was formal, but it was just an opportunity that God gave me. And this lovely old lady became a Christian simply because of the gift of a book.
Amazing.
That's it
amazing.
Is.
That is really cool.
Mm.
Well, funny you mentioned books. Has there been anyone significant supporting you in your Christian walk? Not books, but someone.
Oh, somebody. Well, Carl Faze was a bit of a hero here for me.
Okay.
And Mark, I love Mark's preaching. Matt rocks, you know. I guess many pastors have been my heroes. Rhonda Montgomery, who's our elder, is a good friend.
Shout out to you.
Shout out to Rhonda. Ron, of course. You know, I think when you've got a husband who's a Christian, it's pretty special. But I guess those people.
Nice.
And most of all, probably second most, is my dad. He was a Baptist pastor, and he was just somebody to whom I had the greatest of respect, and he really helped me in my Christian walk.
Lovely. That's nice.
I had a few guys who were a little older than me when I was a teenager who really knew the Lord, really were. When you're a teenager, you're a bit of a, you know, act like an idiot sometimes, but you know, these guys were deeper in their faith, and they would quietly challenge me on why I said something or why I did something. And looking back, it meant a lot to me. You know, they were just further along the track than I was.
Yeah.
And I look back and I think, thank you, Lord, for sending these guys along, because they knew how to deal with young guys in their teens that didn't have it all together, who thought they did. There were a few guys there who touched me. Now I look back and I just say, thank you, Lord, that was wonderful. I've had a few pastors because I've come over the years. My parents were great, I must admit. They loved the Lord. The house was an open house where we often had kids in who were kicked out from home or had nowhere to go, or whatever. And they just, mum and dad would take them in. There's the room there. You stay there till we find you. And they were very good the way they taught me. Dad was pretty wise. He'd, you know, call me aside and say, mate, what's going on here?
Mm.
You know, a lot of fathers didn't care, but he just challenged me and say, do you think that's wise? And looking back, praise the Lord for someone like that. So there's been a lot of people that have touched my life over the years, normally older people who are close to the Lord or been on their walk with God a lot longer.
Mm.
And I think if we just stand and listen and apply it to our lives, we can learn a lot of stuff from them.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be in church. They don't have to always be pastors.
Mm.
Sure.
Yeah, they can just be other people that God sends pastors on our journey. He knows what we need, who we need to speak to.
Yeah.
And, so I've met a few, but it's been wonderful.
And can I just do a shout out to Sunday school teachers?
Sure.
Mrs. Johnson. And Mrs. Johnson was my teacher on that occasion that I made my first commitment to Jesus. Yeah,
See, and even after all, you know,
yeah, I can still remember.
Was, still remember the significance.
Yeah, her first name was Del.
Oh,
amazing.
Del Johnson. So there you go. And Mrs. McGregor was another lovely Sunday school teacher. And I think they all, as Ron was just saying, you know, God uses all these people to grow you. And you look back and you can see God's hand.
Oh, yeah.
You can't necessarily see it. Yeah.
You can't see it going. Well, but then you look back and you go, wow, God works.
Mm. Amazing. Amazing.
Amazing. Mm. And Ron, just, you know, I picked up, you were sharing about some of these people that God had put across your path and that they challenged you, but they challenged you in a non-judgmental way and just got you to think about things for yourself.
They did, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, they didn't necessarily preach, you know. Mm. They just, I knew where they were at as Christians, and they just questioned why I did something or what I thought about that, and was it wise?
Mm.
And I think, well, maybe not. And I would think about it. Probably if they'd have come in like a raging bull and said, you don't do that, you should do this, I would back off and say, well, don't tell me what to do. But in their wisdom, they gently challenged me and questioned me in love.
Yeah, that's
right. And you pay a lot more attention to it. And I had a few of those guys, and that's what rubbed off on me. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
They did it with gentleness.
Gentleness.
Yeah, that's what we need. Mm. Gentleness. Mm. That's good.
It's not always easy. Yeah, sometimes you think, I'll let them know what I think. But the Lord says, no.
Hold back.
Yeah.
It's a good reminder too, because sometimes it's nothing to do with what we think or feel.
Exactly. Is it? Right.
Yeah. Oh. Fantastic. All right. Well, our next question is, what is your take on discipleship?
Oh, goodness.
That's a big question, isn't it?
Especially as we just had a whole series on it.
This is not a quiz, I promise.
It's not a quiz. How do you live it out?
I think it's just being obedient, just making sure that you realise your job is not to just grow personally, but also to get out there and make disciples. So I think you've got to feed on the word and then make sure that you put it into practice and take every opportunity that God gives you because he'll give you an opportunity pretty much every day, even during COVID.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think it's not just a matter of being passive but being very active. So you do have to grow in your understanding and your knowledge and you have to strive to know more, you have to strive for knowledge. But once it's only about knowledge, then you can become very proud as a Christian, I think. And I think we've got to make sure that we're always on the lookout for opportunities to serve, whether it's those random acts of kindness that I was talking about or whether it's actually sharing the fact that you are a Christian and making yourselves available to answer any questions and to be there when people are seeking.
Yeah. And you mentioned about, proud or pride can, being mindful of that as well and, making sure that pride doesn't sort of take over and it becomes
a judge. Judgmental.
It's good.
Yeah, I think taking every opportunity. I was saying to Annette the other day, I just shared something with her that I I thought achieved with, I haven't. Looking back, taking an opportunity wherever you can to share God's love. And I went away a few years back. I went up to Queensland for a reunion with a youth group. Most of them had lived in Queensland, so that's why it was held up in Queensland. And I went up there and I met guys that I hadn't seen for 50 years.
Wow.
And one guy came up to me, his name was Malcolm. And he chatted, I said, Malcolm, how are you going? Oh, I love the Lord, the kids growing up in the Lord. I said, that's great, Malcolm. And he said, Ron, can you remember that night we had a talk out in the car park and you shared the gospel with me? I looked at him, I said, no. I said, that's 50 years ago, Malcolm. He said, that's the night I became a Christian.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm. Yeah, and I thought, wow. You know,
praise God.
I didn't know. Awesome. I didn't know, and I'm glad he told me because I thought, how often do we do that and we don't hear a result or we don't see a result and we won't know till we're in glory.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's amazing. 50 years, 50, you heard the answer 50 years later.
Yeah, I'm glad he told me because I can't remember talking to him, but he just said you shared the gospel in the car park after church.
Wow.
And I said, well, knowing me, I probably did.
I can't remember it.
Yeah. But I said, I'm glad. So happy for you, mate. I said, that's great.
Yeah.
So let's look for every opportunity I think we can find. Just in the Lord, share, do what we can for people, and the Lord will bless whatever we do.
Yeah.
We do it in the right manner and with his love and with his direction.
Mm.
So I think that's what discipleship is.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah. So we've come to the question of questions now.
Oh, hey.
Ooh, a bit nervous here.
Gee. I don't know the answer. Can I make it up?
Well, we'll see how you go with it first. So what is a significant turning point or faith story in your life where you have seen or experienced God at work?
And we'll give you a moment because you've shared so many beautiful and amazing stories, but maybe one where, you know, God's, you know, done something for both of you in your marriage or through you as a married couple, or it could even be something as individuals. So you might have your own individual stories to share.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's a hard one.
Say the question again. I used to ask when I was totally being interviewed for a job. Can you just repeat that question?
Give you a bit of time to stall.
Maybe just simplify the question.
Simplify it. So, has there been a significant faith story in your life where you've experienced God at work?
I remember we have a daughter who was seriously injured in an accident. She was in intensive care fighting for her life. And we had just come to GBC.
Mm-hmm.
And there was what we called a prayer chain back in those days. Okay. And everybody on the prayer chain, you know, the faithful prayer warriors, were praying for her healing.
Wow.
And she had many, many, many internal injuries and, as I said, fought for her life. And after she'd been in intensive care about 3 or 4 days, her lungs collapsed, begun to collapse.
Wow.
And the x-rays were just complete white. This was on top of a whole lot of other injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of the nurses saying, I couldn't go home until I found out what happened. Anyway, the doctor came in. It was very grave. And that night, now she has gone on to be incredibly sick, so I don't want you to think that as a result of this her life has been easy. It hasn't. But this particular night, when the doctor came back, he looked at the x-rays and he couldn't believe it because all but a very small part of the lung had completely cleared.
Oh, wow.
Now, that was an amazing answer to prayer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Mm.
Praise God.
I shared with you guys a few months ago about Pete, a guy I work with, grew up with. Well, he was an apprentice of mine and who I shared the gospel with. And then after 25 years, he said to me, no, I don't. I believe you, Ron. I believe Christ is the answer, but I don't want him. Now, that's really hard to take. Anyway, I have rung him. Since that time, I've rung him. I said, Pete, I'm praying for you constantly. He said, you're right. I'm with the Lord now. I have become a Christian.
Mm.
Well, I rang him about 3-4 weeks ago. And he said, oh, look, mate, I'm just driving down the road now. I've got a young girl beside me. She is an ex-heroin addict and she's going through rehab and she's working with me on the work he was doing down Wollongong. And she's asking questions about how to become a Christian. And oh, I thought, goodness. It just, yeah, it just kind of passes on, you know? Like, on. Yeah, the Lord, God's the Lord, you, yeah. That so that was a cool. real blessing to me after all these years. I said, Lord, well, 25 years I've been sharing with him and he says no.
Mm.
And then he comes to you and he's sharing his gospel, sharing the gospel to people he's coming across. So that's so exciting, yeah, you know?
That's so good.
Yeah, just that's, I love it.
Yeah.
God at work. Yeah. God at work.
That's right.
Yep. Are there any others that come to mind that you'd like to share?
Oh, there's just so many times that I, you know, even just the little incidentals, I guess. But it doesn't mean that we always get it right. Like I've failed God. I wouldn't want it to sound we're talking that,
course.
You know, because I'm just so grateful that I've been forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I wouldn't want you to think that I've done everything right. And maybe the fact that I know I'm forgiven is the greatest gift and the greatest example of where I've seen God at work, that I can spend eternity with him despite my wrongdoings, my sin.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that he's still used me. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, a Christian walk is not an easy path. It's not a golden straight path to the pearly gates. You know, it's it can have its trip ups, its slips, and
you let God down.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. But
like and you don't said, take opportunities that He gives you. You know, and things like that.
Yeah, but you know, God will still love us,
no matter how bad we are. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
yeah. I think. The Lord's blessed our marriage, you know, like a lot of Christians would say that. But looking back over how many years is it now?
47.
I have to check every now and then, see how that's a good husband. But
I'll keep that in mind.
Do it's wise move, mate.
Note to self.
We've been so blessed that the Lord has I'm sure he picked us out for each other.
Sure.
And we look after each other and he's just a good God, you know.
Mm.
He's a really good God that he knew before the beginning of time, before the world was even made, who we would end up with. And he picked the right person, I think.
You're on
to a
winner, Ron.
Yeah, I am.
He's all right. He's good.
It's interesting because even though we've had our struggles with our eldest daughter being so very ill as a result of that accident, we don't have any broken relationships in the family.
Oh, that's good.
And so even though our dreams for her haven't been fulfilled in that she's incredibly sick and her husband is her carer and she hasn't been able to have children, all the things that, you know, you want good health for her. You want her to be able to have just be able to go out. Well, she can't even go out. But in saying all of that, she loves her husband and she loves us. And, you know, we're very grateful that even though her life isn't what...
And loves the Lord.
Yes. And, you know, I don't have any worries that should the Lord take her that she's going to be with God, you know. And we're very blessed in that way. That's so, lovely, you know, people could look at our life and think, oh, gee, poor on Nanit, you know, the... Things haven't gone really well for them as far as what they'd hoped for Nadine. But certainly there's no broken relationships there.
Yeah.
Well, with that story, how has it changed your life? I mean, I guess for both of you because it's been
affected both of you. Yeah, I think, as Ron said, she loves the Lord and so we are better off than many, many, many of our friends who struggle because their children haven't gone on to find faith.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think you just learn that God's sovereign, that he's in control, that nothing takes him by surprise. I just rest in him. Like I could get myself so worried about her, but I have this amazing peace, peace.
Lovely. That's so good.
Because God's got her and she loves him and he loves her. And it's incredibly liberating. I'm not bound by it. I'm not bitter. She's not bitter.
No.
And I mean, she could be because she's so unwell, but she doesn't blame God and she loves God. And it's just beautiful.
And it's beautiful. And it's so lovely.
So, yeah, that's the answer there.
Cool.
I think we celebrate the good things too. Like even though Nadine's situation is disappointing for her and to an extent for us, we've got so much other wonderful stuff.
Sure.
And you can't let the bad stuff spoil the good stuff.
Yeah.
And you can't let the bad stuff rob you of joy.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to be happy to know joy. I think that's something I've really, really learned. I wish for Nadine that she was well. I really, really wish she was well and that she could have a normal life and be able to go out like everybody else and she's in constant pain. I wish she didn't have those things. But I can still be joyful because of the fact that I know she's going, she's a Christian. So you don't have to be happy to know joy.
Yeah.
And I'm very grateful that God's given us joy despite the fact that from a maybe from some people's perspective we haven't been successful in that sense, but we feel that we've got more than you know, more than you could possibly ask for in that we've got comfort and peace and we just know he's got it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
You know, like her, when we all get to heaven, she's going to be bounding around and, you know, it's going to be awesome. Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
It'll be awesome.
Yeah. And so there's no bitterness. Yeah. I don't feel angry with God. He knows what's going on. And, you know, as a result of her being ill, I can tell you another story with Jesus Calling where I gave her a copy of it when she was about 14, 15, no, she was about 19 or 20, and a woman came to her that she worked with and she was having a bit of a struggle, and Nadine said, look, take this book. My mum has given this to me and it's really helped me. And this woman had prayed on the way to walking the dog that morning, God, if you exist, I want to find you. She went home, read 2 pages of Jesus Calling and committed her life to God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've seen God work through Nadine.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Mm. That's wonderful.
And that's just one of many stories because she's very happy to share her faith.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Lovely.
And that's powerful.
No,
that's
and so it's powerful. A testament to her. I mean, she could be so cheesed off with how life's turned out, but she's not bitter.
She's turning it into good.
She is. Yeah,
amazing.
Using your opportunities when she has them, that's good. One final question. Dum, dum, dum. How are you following Jesus?
Every day. I just think I'm just so grateful that God found me, you know. I'm just so grateful. And I think I start every day with I'm using the app, you know, the new version, is it the Bible app?
The Bible app.
Yes. Fantastic. I'm loving that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I have Christine Kane. I've been reading her, Giving Jesus Calling a Break, because I've done that for 100 years. and then I've got a prayer time that I've got so many people that I pray for, and I'm able to tell that I pray for them, and they love it when I say I'm praying for them.
Yeah, when you tell me, I'm like, that's awesome. Yeah. That you pray. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But it is. But, you know, look, as I said, I mean, I'm far, 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 far from perfect, but what I do, I'm just so grateful for what I've got, and I think that attitude of contentment and that attitude of thankfulness can be very helpful to one's soul.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. Absolutely. What about you, Ron?
Yeah, well, following Jesus is more than just church, you know. Well, if we just relied on Sunday's hour service or whatever it is, we'd really be struggling, you know.
I also have to question, for me, an hour would just not be enough. I'd want more.
Exactly. Yeah, well, look, right. I do a lot of reading of Christian books. Listened to a lot of guys on telly. You got to pick and choose there. And I spent a lot of time in prayer. There was a time with, oh, gee, I guess I should pray. Now I love it, you know. It's just waiting. What do you got to say to me, Lord? What is there something you've got to put on my heart? It used to be rattling off made-up words, that, you know, which I suppose at the time was okay, but as you grow, you start to wait upon the Lord, and He puts stuff in your your heart, and you get really excited. So the Christian walk is made of lots of things, of doing your best to and I think mixing with other Christians is a big thing too.
Iron sharp as iron.
We're all on the same page. The Christian friends, I love to talk on about the things of the Lord, where you're at, what problems you're going through, and tell us something the Lord's done for you. And it's all part of the walk, I think. It's, as I say, it's more than just church. Although
church is good though. Like very important. When we sing, you know, isn't
very
it good?
Important.
Yeah, it's powerful, isn't it? Awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. Something about
corporate worship. Oh, there is.
Yeah, the church as a whole is, boy, I don't know how people survive without church, you know. If they say, I don't need church, I think, okay. That's their way, but it's not for me.
Yeah, maybe that's just where they're at that point.
True. Hopefully they'll see a need for it, because the church needs them. If they're in the Lord, if they love the Lord, the church needs them.
Absolutely.
Because we're all in this together.
That's right.
And we can't have people asleep on the sideline, because it just, you know, we need every man on the field.
And I think walking with Jesus every day is trying to take opportunities, not necessarily to share your faith, but to let people know you're a Christian, and, you know, just to live a life that's worthy of the fact that Jesus died for you. I think you've got to be, you know, that's huge. So we've got to make sure that our life is worthy of that. But that people's, if we earn people's respect, we have the right to share. I think that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's been a wonderful time with you guys. Oh, my gosh, so much interesting stuff you've had to say. Really encouraging story about your daughter as well.
Thank you so much. She's a special girl.
For sharing that.
And my other daughter's great too. You know, she's got these two little children, and she's had to see Nadine's, you know, not as healthy as we'd like her to be, and she's a great sister. So so we've got a lot going, a lot of good stuff.
That's cool. Well, thanks so much for being on, guys. It's been really awesome.
Thanks
to
for
have
asking
you on.
Us.
Oh, anytime.
Yeah, I feel so refreshed and encouraged by all your amazing stories. And, you know, I even have some things that I want to take away and think through myself and pray about. So thank you. You've inspired me with your stories and what God's been doing in your lives.
Thank you.
Thank you.